So welcome to the instruction period. I want to begin today by responding to one of the questions that was given to us. And it is about effort. Somebody wrote wondering how to make skillful effort. So in the teachings, there's a metaphor that's used. And it is, you can't hear me? Ah, is that better? Okay. So in the teachings, the image that's used in relation to effort is a musical instrument, the sitar, this beautiful instrument from India. That has 17 strings, and the strings need to be tuned just right. So when the string is too tight, of course, the music's out of tune. When the string is too loose, again, the music's out of tune. So effort is just the same. We need to be rather finely tuned. So we need to make just enough effort, but not a forceful, self-centered effort. So wise effort is guided by wisdom and understanding. The self-centered effort of wanting to acquire, achieve, the desperation and urgency that sometimes comes with that pushing and striving energy, it's just a little too much. So I would suggest that if you're struggling with maintaining attention or you're not sure if you're making enough effort, just be very patient. So patiently, as much as possible, following the instructions, seeing what unfolds, getting to know yourself, knowing when you need to rest, and knowing when you need to apply more attention and effort. Another person had difficulty maintaining attention. So sometimes we can be rather focused. At other times, the attention and mind is distracted and moves rather quickly somewhere else. So when this happens, we are rather curious about that small event. What happened then? How is it that the attention that was so fine and light and focused is suddenly scattered? So we look at that point, and when we notice that our energy and effort and attention has shifted, that very point right there is a moment of awareness. So we are just endeavoring to adjust our focus and attention to very patiently, when we lose focus, bring the attention back to the breath. So you need to get to know yourself. Know when you need to make effort and know when you need to relax and pull back. Most people's problems are really from trying too hard. Trying too hard and really wanting something other than what's happening. So please be patient. Please trust the process. Know that many people have walked this path before you. So today we come to the second foundation of mindfulness, which is mindfulness of feelings. The Pali word is Vedana, and it has a specific meaning. It means the feeling tone of the contact through the sense doors. So the contact through the sense doors is what we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. And immediately that happens, we open our eyes, we see the room, immediately that happens, there's the Vedana, which is the pleasant or unpleasant, or in between feeling tone. And of course, most of us want the pleasant. We don't want the unpleasant. And we tend to ignore the in between, or switch off, or disassociate, or get bored. So we need to see this process. It's an impersonal process. It just happens for all of us. What we tend to do is we attach the self to that unfolding process. So we're asked just to see and note and understand what the feeling tone is of the contact through the sense doors. So you might notice as you're walking around later today, you look at a tree, pleasant Vedana. You might tread on a prickle on the ground, unpleasant Vedana, unpleasant feeling tone, and so on. We just know that, we see that, but we don't need to get caught up in it. There's the pleasant, the unpleasant, and in between. And if we're rather steady at that point, then consciousness isn't compelled by our likes and dislikes and our attractions and aversions. Then there's freedom. There's freedom with the pleasant, freedom with the unpleasant, freedom with the in between. It's problematic when we grasp and hold and grip. Now, in this particular sutta, there's some instructions which some of you find controversial. And I've never really quite understood why, because the instruction is about experiencing joy. And often the immediate reaction when I give this instruction is, I don't want to feel joy. Or I don't feel joy. Don't tell me what to feel. So immediately there can be a kind of resistance. Oh, we're not feeling everything. We're just feeling joy. Well, my view of this is that it's there in the Buddha's instructions. Joy is one of the factors of awakening. So it's very important that we learn how to cultivate joy. And initially, we may not feel very much joy when we endeavor to cultivate it. But given that it's one of the factors that wakes us up, it's important. And my view is, well, if it's in there in the instructions, I'm going to try it for myself and see what happens. Once we are patient with the cultivation of joy, once we really learn how to do it, what we notice is that we can turn towards joy anytime we wish. What we notice is that joy flows through the body rather naturally, and it can be an extraordinary skill to be able to touch into joy. So this is the first of the instructions. And so as we did yesterday, I would just like you to try the instruction and then to report simply what happens. So I'll say the instruction. And what we do is we set the intention. We just set an intention. We don't repeat the instruction over and over in the mind. We set the intention. And then we just wait and breathe and see what happens. The instruction is breathing in, experiencing joy, breathing out, experiencing joy. Did anybody have a direct experience of joy? Yes. 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 And you did. Okay. And then the voice of doubt comes and says, oh, can it be that easy? Yes, it can. As simple as that. So what does that tell you? The fact that you can experience joy on demand, that you can just experience joy when you breathe. What would that mean for your life? Yes, indeed. Extraordinary freedom is possible right there. So tranquility or peace and joy are really important factors of awakening. Yes, somebody else had their hand up here. Yes. Yes. Love that. Internal massage. Yes. Okay, so sometimes we can begin to touch into joy by thinking of that which we are grateful for, and gratitude and joy are very close together, because often when we settle into gratitude, we have a thought, it might be about the past, of something for which we are grateful, or it can be something we're grateful for right now, in the present moment, and then rather easily there's a sense of joy. But the joy that you described first is beautiful. It's the joy of breathing, the joy that we can touch into when we breathe. And so if we can just know that, because hopefully we're all breathing, and so we can be touched by joy simply, easily, anytime. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Try to remember some joyful events, and then I was trying to say to myself, but I need to enjoy this present moment.
Yes.
So I was like, let's not connect. But then I've just enjoyed being in the moment and the smile of her, and it was great. But when I thought also on a hard situation, when I'm inside a hard situation, could I actually do that as well? I was trying to understand.
Yes. Yes. So then the mind went to the future.
Yeah.
Okay. So the joy was there with the smile, and there's an immediacy to it. And it's beautiful when it's just fully felt. Then, of course, the thinking mind, the I, comes in and says, oh, but could I do this in a difficult situation? It's a challenge, but even amid the most extraordinary grief, for example, there can be moments of joy. There really can be. Yes. Yes. Ah. Okay. So, see how we attach rather quickly to the joy, and then we don't want to let the joy go. But if you just steady yourself, so rather than fear the letting go, there can also be joy in the letting go. So the joy is there on the in-breath And it can also be there on the out-breath. So just watch the tendency of mind to grip and grasp. The moment we feel joy or something pleasant, the mind rather naturally wants it and wants it to stay. And the sensations are impermanent and shifting and changing. Yes, there was someone else. Yes. Okay.
I was wondering how joy feels physically because it's always related to thoughts in my mind.
Okay. So joy can have an excitable aspect to it. The Pali is piti, P-I-T-I. And sometimes it can be felt in a really energetic kind of way. So when you were just breathing in and out, did you feel calm? Yes.
At first I felt like my breath was lifting me and like I took more air in.
Yeah, so there's a lightness.
I think so.
Yeah. So there's a kind of lightness that can come and that can be the beginning of joy. What else did you feel?
Then I was just feeling calm.
Ah. In the calm, was there any difficulty?
No.
No. Okay. All difficulty ceased. It stopped.
Is that joy?
I think it's a cause for great joy and celebration because it's the end of pain, isn't it? Right there. So when we're calm, there's calmness leads actually more to the next one we're going to do, which is more a refined contentedness rather than the joy. But I think that if we can access calm and we can know the end of all difficulties, that's a really good reason for feeling joyous, because then we know that we can access that. So we learn to meditate, not just for the sake of sitting still for an hour, but we learn to meditate in order to know ourselves and to train the mind to the absence of the problematic. We're training the mind to peace. We're training the mind to freedom. And so we have to catch and understand those moments, those small moments when there isn't a problem. We're inclining the mind to joy, contentedness, peace, liberation. Okay, let's do the next one. Ah, one more.
To
relaxation. Oh, relaxation, yes. 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 It's an insight. Yes. I know and I can access gentle joy. Having known it and understood the process of how to do it, I can do it again. And so the insight is that I can free up my life because I can touch into this gentle joy. Lovely. In 3 minutes, yes. 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 So sometimes there's the absence of joy. Sometimes we feel very emotional or very caught up in things that aren't joyous. That's true. So what did you do then?
Tried
Yes. Yes, beautiful. So the awareness came, and there was the untangling, and the untangling usually comes through softening the grip of the mind, loosening the grip of the mind. And so sometimes, yes, we are caught up in something, and then we turn towards that with loving attention, and we loosen, we soften. And then, of course, once we do that, there's actually joy in that process. Lovely. So we get to know ourselves. We're not denying the unpleasant feelings. We're just learning more to cultivate the joy and the contentedness. Let's go on to the next one. The next instruction is breathing in, experiencing happiness or contentedness. The Pali is sukha, and it's very similar to joy, but it has a contentedness, or it's quieter, if you like. It's happiness. Does everyone understand the words contentment and happiness? Contentment? Okay. So breathing in, experiencing contentedness or happiness. Breathing out, experiencing contentedness or happiness. Did anybody discover contentment? Yes. Yes.
And it changed like that.
Ah.
Because I started with being content, and then I felt something in the body, and then I lost it.
Okay.
I'm angry with myself. It's not a nice thing running around. But the beginning was a very few.
Okay. Okay, so there was this wonderful 2 seconds of utter contentment. Then you felt something in the body, so which was unpleasant, I take it. An unpleasant sensation? Yes. Okay. So the mind really quickly changes and runs from the contentedness. Because the habit of mind is often to feel annoyed, irritated, distressed, upset, isn't it? The mind rather easily goes to the problematic. There's been psychological studies done that show this, that we tend to focus on the problems. And so this is why it's so important to practice this beautiful contentment. But what you know now is that contentment is possible. And the very fact that contentment is possible, even for a couple of seconds, shows us that the capacity of the human heart and mind, that we can touch into contentment. And deep calm and deep contentment is precious. And the knowing that it's a capacity of ours that we can learn to access is wonderful. So please try again. Anybody else? Contentment? Yes. Loudly, yes, at the back. Ah. Yes. 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 Okay. So it's gentle and it's more subtle than the joy. So just staying completely with this, nothing was missing. So nothing needed to be added to life or taken away. Life as it is in that moment was peaceful, unproblematic. It was full, nothing missing. When there's nothing missing, desire ends. Wanting ends. This is natural freedom, natural peace, right there. Then, of course, we tend to compare and we go, oh, this is different from the last instruction. So this is comparing mind, where we start thinking about what's going on. And we compare one experience with the other. This is the sense of self landing again in the world of thought, thinking about the experience, interpreting it, analyzing it. Okay, anyone else? Yes. The question is there a difference between imagination and thinking? I would say sometimes, sometimes not. If we are imagining that's full of fantasy and expectation and worry, then it's thought about the future. if our thinking is reflective awareness, so we're reflecting on our life, in inquiring into life and seeing into life, then thinking is quite different. And some thoughts lead to peace and freedom, and some thoughts lead to trouble, distress and distress. And so we need to understand which are which. And of course, there is imagination that's associated with creativity, and that's again a wonderful capacity of the human heart, that kind of imagination that's creative. But coming back to our theme, anyone else want to report? Yes.
It was very calming, and I was breathing. In Hebrew, you say it's like making our will with like after a good meal.
Okay.
Fed.
Okay.
And I was breathing this word, this beautiful song, and then I had a thought. It was quite inspiring for me. That it's like when I tell my will, this hungry animal inside that always wants. When I tell my will, you are fed. You don't need, everything is okay, you are fed, and I felt very calm, like, so it was nice.
Wonderful, good news. And there's wisdom in that, isn't there? It's beautiful, well done, thank you. Yes.
The joy I found inside the breathing itself.
Yes.
But the happiness or the beautiful song, I can't find there. I only find it when I think about the perfection of the whole creation, and after that, the perfection of myself.
Oh, so when you think about perfection, there's contentment. Wonderful. Easily done. So sometimes things come to us in rather different ways. We hear around the room, and it's like a revelation, really. Something unfolds really beautifully. And there's just a kind of shift within us, and we can touch into wonderful contentment. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes?
I found that contentment and happiness are the same thing.
Okay.
I felt contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Then I asked myself if I'm happy, and I said no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
When I was able to go back to contentment, so I thought, okay, one can be there without the other.
Okay, sometimes we use language slightly differently, and words have a nuanced meaning to us. It's always helpful to go back to the Pali, which is sukha, which is a very refined kind of pleasantness. In English, contentedness, for some others, happiness. So what does happiness mean for you?
I know it's not joy.
Okay.
It's easy to access.
Yeah, okay.
Different. Happiness, like things are okay.
Yeah.
And things are not okay right now, and so I didn't feel the happiness, but I could still be with that and feel like, okay.
Okay, so you could feel a sense of contentment.
Yes.
Okay. Take contentment. If you can feel contentment, be happy with that. Yes, behind you. Yes. Okay, beautiful. So sometimes we can just apply the meditation technique, and then what comes forth is the direct experience the direct experience of all is good. Beautiful. And there was someone behind, yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I felt more in my mind.
Okay.
So I felt like the difference in where it lay more than the difference of what it is.
Okay. Okay. Some of us tend to be rather more analytical than others. And if we're an analytical person and we can know contentment of mind, fantastic. And later in this section, there's some instructions about thought and mental formations and feeling the Vedana in relationship to thought. And it's very important to understand that with our thoughts, there's also the pleasant or unpleasant or in-between feelings. So well seen. Yes, there's so many people want to speak. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then by instruction, the immediate experience was calm.
Yes.
And less happier.
Yes.
Joy.
Yes.
And then, so that was surprising. After this, this was great, and this was great. And
that was great. Yes. Okay, so as we step through the instructions in this sutta, there's more and more refinement of the depth of peace, if you like. So the first kind of joy has an excitable feeling associated with it, and then the sukha has more contentment or quietness or calmness associated with it, and you've touched that. Wonderful. And there was someone further back who's been wanting to speak for a while. No? Oh, okay. Yes. With contentment? With contentment? No. No. We're not pretending. We're not faking. We set an intention. Okay, it's a good question. We set an intention, breathing in, experiencing contentment in this case. It's an intention. And then we just breathe and do it. And sometimes it comes rather quickly. And at other times we might need to be more patient and keep on paying attention until eventually some contentment emerges. So we set an intention, and then with the breath, we're looking at the direct experience. So we're not remembering or trying to imagine. We're looking for the direct experience of the contentment right here, right now, with the breath. So it's mindfulness of breathing. In this case, it's the mindfulness of contentedness. that we're looking for or looking at. And the aim, of course, is direct experience. So we set the intention and we patiently wait. And we keep attending to the breath with awareness. And then we see this unfolding process that we've just heard about around the room. Anyone, have I missed somebody who's been very eager to speak? No. Okay, let's go on. The next is breathing in, experiencing the mental formations. Now, mental formations are thoughts, ideas, views, opinions, beliefs. With each thought, idea, view, opinion, belief, there is the Vedana, the feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, or in between. So what we're doing is we're just breathing in, experiencing the mental formations. We're experiencing the feeling tone of the mental formations. So we're just checking out what's happening. Let's do it. Yes? Clear? Okay, let's do it, please. Breathing in, experiencing the mental formations, breathing out, experiencing the mental formations. So essentially, did anyone feel pleasant Vedana with a thought? Yes. Yeah? Just quickly.
Just in the beginning,
Yes.
I was looking for thoughts and then I didn't find it.
Oh!
and then a thought came. Oh, this is a good thing.
Okay. Okay. So I looked for the thoughts and there weren't any. Fantastic news. And so then the thought came, of course, this is a good thing. And with that comes joy. Oh, yes. At the back. Were you putting your hand up? No? Just stretching. Okay, yes. Yes. No, you're just experiencing the feeling tone in relationship to the mental formations, and it's a kind of lead in to the next one that we're going to do, which is using the breath to calm the mental formations. Yes.
When you say the instruction,
yes.
I was looking for what I feel in my body.
Yes.
And I feel heavy.
Yes.
So when she say what she say, I understand there wasn't there a thought.
Yes.
But when I was thinking about what I'm feeling about all my mental formation, so I think my body like heaviness.
Yes. So the body was telling you there's heaviness around mental formations. Even the Buddha thought that it would be tiresome to think too much. And it is, it's exhausting. Okay. Yes. 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 Okay. Okay. So the mental formation was the thought, it's too big. And then there was the shift to relaxation. Fine. Yes.
So for me as well, at the beginning, I was trying to think, but I'm thinking, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing in my head. I'm so happy. And then I'm like, I'm thinking that I'm thinking that there's no thought.
Yes. I'm thinking that I'm thinking.
And it was very nice. But at the moment that I realized that it was thought, then my mind just went to something really random.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So sometimes the mind just skips to something else when we're trying to pay attention. I'm just aware that we're running out of time for our instruction period. So just finally, and I won't ask you what happened this time, but just really sitting, using the breath to calm the mind. So the instruction is breathing in, calming the mental formations, breathing out, calming the mental formations. So to summarize the instructions, at any time in a sitting, you can simply do mindfulness of breathing as we did yesterday. Or if you wish, you can take up one of the instructions that we had today. The first one was breathing in, experiencing joy. Breathing out, experiencing joy. The second, contentment. And there's great encouragement from me to explore this and to see what unfolds for yourself, because we heard around the room that there can be a wonderful joy that we can access. And that tells us that we can live this life with joy. There's a contentment where we feel that's nothing, there's nothing missing. We can so easily touch into peace. We can come to joy even amid our deep sorrows and difficulties. There can still be moments of joy. And this is a precious insight. And so we need to know that we have the capacity to know peace directly, to find joy, to find contentedness. It's available. It's on offer. Explore. And the last two instructions in this section were experiencing the mental formation, so being aware of the Vedana, whether the feeling tone is pleasant or unpleasant with any particular thought. And then, of course, we can use the breath to calm the world of thought. And that in itself is rather blessed, because our thoughts are often rather compulsive or obsessive, and we can use just the simplicity of breathing to really calm the mind. So that's all the instructions for today. I think that's plenty. And I wish you joy and contentment and discovery. Really see for yourself what this is about. So thank you very much for your attention.